ask an interest in your prayers this morning, that the Lord will bless the preaching of His Word to our hearts today. The title of the message is More Than Your Sacrifice. I'd like us to begin with a familiar incident that happened in the life of Christ in the 7th chapter of Luke. Luke in the 7th chapter will begin reading with the 36th verse. Luke chapter 7 verse 36. It said, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. You know, the Pharisees kind of get a bad rap sometimes. But I think probably most of us, if we were living in that time, would probably be Pharisees. Now I don't want to be with the Pharisees, because they had a reputation of being self-righteous. But the reality is that where they came from was from a mindset that we want to obey the commandments of God. We don't want the commandments to slip. So unfortunately, what happened was, in their pursuit of obeying God, they began to incorporate their own ways and their own thinking. And rather than putting their faith in God, they started putting into their own righteousness. And so that's where a lot of times when we talk about the Pharisees, we're talking about the self-righteous. And yet we read in the scripture that there were Pharisees that had a heart open to Christ. Nicodemus was one of those that had a desire to see the kingdom of God. And here's another example of one. So it said that a Pharisee desired Jesus that he would come and eat with them. And he invited him home, and Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Like us to get a little picture this morning and see where when Jesus was walking on this earth, there were multitudes of people that followed him. Remember that? It wasn't just a few. There were thousands of people that followed Jesus. So when he went somewhere, there could be hundreds and thousands of people sometimes that were following him. So when he came to eat somewhere, can you imagine how many people might have been at the door wanting to see him? I mean, this is the man that was casting devils out. This is the man that was healing the sick. So if I can't get in where he's eating lunch or supper, I might just take the roof off so I can get to him. But there were a lot of people there, and if many of you that have had big reunions or get-togethers where a lot of people are coming and going, that's what I have in my mind was taking place here. Because as he was eating, it said, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet. So somehow she got in the house. So I don't know that it was, I mean, if you're just sitting there with your small family and someone comes in the door, you're going to be like, excuse us, you know what, you know, who are you? What are you doing? But when you have a big gathering and a lot of people are there, anybody can kind of come and go. I mean, I saw an article just the other day about people that weren't staying at hotels going in and getting a free breakfast, because who checks to see if you're staying at the hotel before you go eat breakfast? Now in Africa, they do. They'll mark off your room number. But here in the States, rarely does that happen. And they're like, you know what? People traveling through want to stop and get something to eat. I mean, it's not right, but most people aren't checking. Here we have a situation where there must have been enough activity and enough people that this woman was able to go ahead and get in to the house where he was. And take note, this was not a Pharisee. This was not someone that had been trying to follow and keep the law strictly. This was a sinner woman. This was a woman that everyone knew. Now, there are people that maybe everyone doesn't know what's in their life. They might say, oh, this is a righteous man. Or maybe we could even say this is a church-going family. But you really don't know what's in their life. This woman was known by the community. We read further on, these people knew that this woman, she is a sinner woman. And she came in and she wanted to see Jesus. She knew that Jesus was there and she came with something to offer. She did not come unprepared. She came with a box of alabaster, an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping. Why was she weeping? She was not coming asking for him to heal her of leprosy. She wasn't coming asking him to heal her lameness. She was a sinner. And she had heard that there was a man, and it wasn't focused on the physical things. This was the man that many times he would heal someone, and then he would say, what would he say afterward? Thy sins be forgiven thee. This woman must have heard that. And she came looking for a Savior. And she found him. And she stood weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And you know, and then she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, in a physical sense, that seems a little bit repulsive to us in our culture, does it not? And yet, understand that this woman was not coming out of ritual. This was an act of pure devotion because she had found her Savior. And she came, and the Pharisees looked at what she did, and they spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. In other words, maybe it was appropriate if it was a righteous woman that was showing this devotion. But if he knew what kind of woman this was, he would not allow her to touch him and do what she's doing because she's a sinner. So there were people that knew exactly what had been in her life. And Jesus went on and spoke with her about it. And we're going to skip a little bit. We're going to go ahead and skip down a little bit further. And he said, wherefore I say unto thee, after speaking to the Pharisee, he said, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. For but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And to her, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Is not this the reason this woman came to Jesus? It wasn't for healing. It wasn't for devils cast out. There was something in her heart that was being drawn to the Messiah who went with a message that said, your sins are forgiven. And this woman found a place of release from all of her sins that day. And I am so thankful this morning that when there are people that have a heart to find the Messiah, to find deliverance from their sin, Jesus will welcome them and he will accept them. And when others may look on, because see, remember in some of the other gospels, they spoke of this instance and they said that she could have sold that ointment. That would be better use of that would be to give to the poor. We need to give that to the poor. But do you realize that she was giving this as an offering, as a token of love and devotion to the Savior? Her weeping, her tears were mingled with the ointment, and she came in brokenness. She did not come to Jesus demanding. She did not come dictating. She came in total surrender to the Lord. And I wonder this morning, how are we coming to the Savior? Too many times I believe today that people are coming with demands. They're coming and they're trying to tell God, Jesus, what to do and how to do it. This woman came in her brokenness and all she could do was weep. She didn't even say, Lord, forgive me. He knew what her heart was. She came in total, complete surrender, and she came with an alabaster box of ointment. And that alabaster box, and there's so much that could be said about it, but it was very valuable. She was criticized by some people for giving to the Lord what she did. Do you know that same thing today? When you pour out your alabaster box to the Lord, there are people that say, you don't need to live that way. You don't need to give yourself like that. You don't need to refrain from doing that. You don't need to sacrifice like that. This woman came in surrender to the Lord, and she was there weeping, and she brought an offering that was of great value. And to me, I see it kind of like the widow that went in to put her mite in the offering. And what did Jesus say? She gave more than everybody else. People give of their abundance. Isn't that what's happening in our land? People are giving of their abundance. I brought my billfold up here. Okay, it's an offering time, so I've got about $20 in my billfold. Okay, so I'll give, 10%. I'll give $2. This woman, just like the widow's mite, she gave everything she had. It wasn't about the denomination. But too many times people are giving of their abundance. $2 out of 20 is a tithe. Is it not? 10%, I'm going to give a tithe. I'm going to tithe of what I give. The New Testament does not teach tithing. Tithing is an Old Testament doctrine. The New Testament teaches giving. The New Testament teaches don't give of the tithe, but give a cheerfully give as the Lord has blessed you. Turn around and give back to God. Freely, with happiness, because of your devotion and because of your surrender. The Gospel of Mark says that this woman poured out the alabaster box. And I wonder this morning if we are just taking a little bit of what God has given to us and we're dribbling it out. We've got our ointment that's so precious and we'll just kind of give a little bit, but we're going to take most of it back home with us. We'll give a little bit of what the Lord has blessed me with, but there's not complete surrender. This woman, what she did was an act of devotion and sacrifice. It didn't matter what everybody else thought. She was weeping and she was kneeling before his feet in a place of humility. How are we coming to the Lord this morning? How are we approaching God today? What is it that's going to make us acceptable to God? Because see, a lot of times in our world today, in religious circles, it's this that makes people... Now, you all may say, well, $2 doesn't do a lot. It doesn't. But even if I gave everything I had, which is $20, or close to it, $24, whatever, that doesn't even put gas in your tank anymore, does it? How much are we supposed to give to God? But people today are approaching God from a tithe standpoint. I'll give God an hour of my time and feel really righteous about themselves because I went and volunteered and fed the hungry for an hour at Christmas time. And people feel really good about what they did to help the poor. And they just gave of excess. I'm not saying don't do that. Please don't misunderstand me. And if all you have is $2 and that's what God has asked you to give, then give it and God will accept it. But I want us to understand the point this morning. We can bring and we can put, I can give everything. I can give, put all $20. You know what? I empty my billfold of my personal cash. So here we go. I'm coming publicly. Does this make me more righteous? I'm going to put in the pastor's offering. No, I won't. I'll put it in general. There's $25. Now, did that make me more righteous? I kind of let my right hand know, my left hand know what my right hand was doing, right? Have you ever seen someone put money in front of everybody like that? I want to make a point. Does that make me more righteous? Does that make me more acceptable to God? I gave all I had. Vanessa, Renee, sorry about lunch. Does that make me more righteous? So I gave everything I had. So does God accept me more? What's the answer? So then it means it's more than your sacrifice. Okay, here's the key to the van. Now Vanessa's getting nervous. I'll put that in the pastor's spot. How's that? Here's the key to the van. Lord, you can have my vehicle. I will give my vehicle. It's something that's precious, at least to some of them. The van, not so much to me, but it's here, Lord, I'll give it back to you. You gave it. The Lord did give us this van, actually. And if the Lord wants to take it away, so Lord, I'll give it back to you. So does that make me more acceptable to God? Because I sacrificed. I gave it. It was an expensive vehicle that the Lord gave us. So Lord, I'll give it back to you. So does that make me more righteous? What about those of you that keep the calendar on your phone, your schedule? Lord, I'm going to schedule you in, and I'm going to read and pray every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, because it makes you, of course, it's got to make you a little more righteous if you do it at 5 instead of 8, right? Think about that one. So, Lord, I'm going to schedule it in, and I'm going to be diligent with it. Should we do these things? Should we give money to the Lord? Should we schedule, Lord, I'm going to give you my time. Lord, I'm going to give you the things that are close to me. I'll give you my sacrifice. I'll sacrifice. Too many are just giving of their abundance. You all know that. You can't even hardly get people to do a little bit for the Lord through the week, much less saying, Lord, I sacrifice for you. You do good to get an hour out of someone. I mean, isn't this where we live? What is the Lord looking for this morning? I'm just open my heart to you as the Lord has put it on. What are we looking for? What it comes down to is this woman gave her alabaster box and she poured it out in humility. And it wasn't as much the value as that she was giving what she had. And it was done out of devotion and surrender. And I wonder this morning if there are not some, even here, that the Lord is saying, yes, maybe you have sacrificed, or maybe you've been the tithe on your time, and tithe on your money, and tithe on things, and you felt good about your tithing. And the Lord's saying, I want more than that. And you say, okay, now I need to sacrifice. But the message this morning is, it's going to be more than your sacrifice. You cannot buy your way into acceptance with God. You cannot sacrifice enough. We're getting ready to go on a mission trip. Does that make us more acceptable to God? No, it doesn't. All it's doing is as we obey His will, He accepts that. But the root of it has to do with our hearts this morning. The root of it has to do with our hearts. And the Lord is wanting more than our sacrifice. He's wanting our hearts. In the Old Testament, they brought their sacrifices to God because God told them to. Just like He tells us to today, give your money, give your time. You will make sacrifices. Yes, that is, if we don't do it, something's wrong with our heart, right? If we don't do it, something's wrong with our heart. But I want to reinforce to all of us, you young folks and you older ones, you cannot pay your way into God's acceptance. You cannot sacrifice enough to make the Lord say, well done. The Lord is looking for something more than your sacrifice, although that follows the heart. Well, what happened is, in the Old Testament, we won't take the time to read it, but in Isaiah, in the first chapter, and other prophets spoke about this as well. And I will just read a little bit. Isaiah 1:11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice to me, saith the Lord. I'm full of burnt offerings. In other words, I'm stuffed till I'm sick. Have you ever eaten so much you got sick? I'm sick of your sacrifices. You burn your incense and you offer your sacrifices, and He said, your incense is an abomination to me. And they could say, but Lord, you told us to do it. And it came a place in the Old Testament that God said, I'm tired of your sacrifice. Do you know the reason why? Because their heart wasn't in it. They weren't doing it out of devotion to God. They weren't doing it out of a love for the Lord. And they were following a ritual. Folks, rituals without righteousness and offerings without obedience and service without surrender will not accomplish anything with God. So we can follow out and keep certain things, and we can give certain things, and we can do service. But if there's not surrender there, 100%, how many today, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you have come to the Lord and said, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I've been giving, and I've been donating, and I've maybe even been sacrificing. But have the Lord wants more than your sacrifice this morning. In the book of Proverbs, it said over in the book of Proverbs in the 23rd chapter, in the 26th verse, it says, my son, and this is the crux of the message. He said, my son, he said, give me thy heart. Well, Lord, I'll give you my car. Lord, I'll give you my money. And Lord, I'll give you my schedule. Lord, I'll give that. That's a lot. I'll give all that to you. And the Lord's saying, there's something more that I want. He said, I want your heart. This morning, Lord wants your heart. He wants your surrender. He wants us to come like this woman with the alabaster box and said, Lord, in my devotion, I'm going to bring all of these things to you, but I'm coming with my tears, and I'm coming in humility, and I'm coming in surrender. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my heart. But Lord, I come to church, and I'm a good person. I treat people fairly. I'm a good man. And I give to good causes. And Lord, you know what I've done to advance your cause in the world. And the Lord's saying, that's not enough. That's not enough. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. But Lord, I'll sacrifice. No, I want your bodies. I want your heart. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Too many people are stingy with their sacrifices. There is, it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning about the Elliots. Jim Elliot, who, if you will recall, was killed in Ecuador in 1956. He was killed with spears of the tribe they went to minister to. But he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In other words, we're not a fool just to get, we can't keep it anyway. Just, Lord, I want to give you everything. I want to give you my heart. So what have you given to the Lord this morning? I know this gets really personal. And you know what happens when you get personal? We get vulnerable, don't we? What are you giving to the Lord? Well, I gave him that and this, and I can make a stack, and I can write a book about all that I've done for the Lord. And he's saying, I want a woman that can come in and surrender. Because if God's got your heart, if God gets my heart, he's already got all this. If he gets my heart, he's already gotten all of this. And there are too many people that are giving these things. There's not enough that are giving these things. But there are people that give some of these things. And all the time, they're holding their heart in reserve. Because I'll tell you, it takes a lot of vulnerability to come to the Lord and completely just say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want, I'm placing myself actively on the altar. So have we given ourselves as a living sacrifice this morning? Holy, acceptable unto God. Or is our service to God, are our sacrifices more routine? Are they partial? And I would just like to ask you this morning, and I ask very personally because I believe that God sent the message for a reason. And I believe it was for at least someone here. Have you come to a place in your spiritual experience that you have really yielded yourself fully to the Lord? I'm not just talking about being saved now and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking if you have come like Paul was entreating them. What God is calling for of a place of complete surrender of your entire life to the Lord. And so many times we justify because of our sacrifices. And the Lord's saying, I want more than your sacrifice today. So I don't know who all this message was for today. I'm challenged by it. I can't sacrifice my way out of the surrender that the Lord wants from me in my life to Him. And I just wonder this morning if there's someone that God is talking to and He's calling for you to completely surrender your life. Yes, maybe you've been forgiven of your sins, but have you broken open your alabaster box and that was representative of the essence of who she was? I'm giving everything in my surrender. Have you yielded yourself completely today to the Lord? This would be a wonderful time for someone to say, I want to come. We might stand. I want to yield my life to the Lord in a way that I never have before. You can go ahead and stand. I want to surrender my life. And I want to open up my alabaster box, my dreams and my plans, my purposes, my possessions, who I am as a person. Lord, I want to come this morning and I want to place myself on the altar, not out of ritual, not because of what anybody's thinking, but Lord, out of my devotion and love for you, I want to fully yield my life and surrender myself to you. So as we sing a song this morning, if there's anyone that would like to pray, the altar is open. The Lord is looking for something more than sacrifice today. He's looking for a surrender and a complete yielding of who we are as individuals. And when you place your individuality in the hands of God, He will not betray you. He will not ask you to do something except it's going to be good for you and for His cause. He's not going to ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing. He's going to give you the grace and the strength that you need. But it's only your choice. God is not going to force us for this kind of sacrifice and yielding of ourselves. I believe the Lord is calling this morning. Who will answer the call? Do you have a number?